Hey, it's movie retrospective time.
Yeah.
Here's another movie that Rob sent us this, right?
Yeah.
Our friend Rob Levinson, who sends us a lot of movies and lots of really kick-ass ones.
Sent us on Blu-ray.
He sent us this one on Blu-ray. I had seen it, but a long time ago. But I was very happy to have the opportunity to see it again. This is the vampire movie, 30 Days of Night.
Yeah, I saw it. I saw it when it came out. I think it was on Netflix briefly.
It might have been.
Yeah, and at the time that it was on, I wasn't particularly interested. Other shit was going on, and I really didn't pay too much close of attention to it. But seeing it again, it's a good movie. It's kind of like up there with The Thing. It's like a difference.
Yeah, it has kind of a similar vibe to it, just from like the isolation, like somebody that's you know, people that are isolated, like in a really snowy.
Kind of like Carpenter's Thing and Thing 2011. It's kind of like that mixed with like Rage Zombie Apocalypse.
Yeah,
it's
like 28 Days Later. Yeah, and it's interesting because I do feel like, you know, for those of you who don't know, this movie came out in 2007, although it was based on a very big selling comic book series by Steve Niles. And I can't believe, like, I remember when this comic book series first came out, and I was thinking to myself, holy crap, I can't believe that nobody ever thought, as far as I know, to do a vampire story set like in the Arctic Circle, because, you know, some cities
it's dark
up there for like a month, or sometimes like, you know, several months at a time, and vampires could just like run around willy-nilly 24 hours a day without having to worry about the sun coming up. And I was like, holy shit, why didn't anybody think of that before Steve Niles did? But he thought of it. Now, the interesting thing about this is that he had the idea for the comic, and apparently he went around to like a bunch of different publishing houses in the late 90s or early 2000s, and no one was interested in the idea, which, okay. I guess because maybe it's because people were used to vampires being more like Anne Rice-y type of vampires. And
yeah, in that era, I think vampires were like a bad idea in terms of the mainstream.
Yeah, it does seem
so
like.
So were zombies.
Yeah, it does seem like, you know, shit's been done since then. You had like Near Dark, you know, later on you had From Dusk Till Dawn, which had the vampires like more like monsters, like going back to the original idea of a vampire rather than making them like all suave and sexy and shit. But I feel like that wasn't really in the zeitgeist like around the time that he was first pitching the idea to like publishing companies. So since no publishing companies wanted to publish his comic, he's like, well, I'll turn it into a screenplay. And he started shopping that around, and no one gave a shit about that one either. But then there was this little publishing company called IDW, and they were kind of just started out, and they loved the idea of 30 Days of Night, and they said that they would publish it. I believe, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that it was the first comic book series that they published, and it was a humongous success. And then, predictably, you know, all the movie companies came calling, and then there was like a bidding war, and I think it ended up, you know, Sam Raimi got involved, like his production company, and I think they ended up paying... I think it was three. It was MGM and a couple other companies were like, you know, give them like $1 million, like for the rights to make it. So then they started working on it. So like I said, the artwork in it, Steve Niles didn't do the artwork. I can't remember. His name's Ben something, I think, the guy that did the artwork. But they wanted to not only use Steve Niles to like write the screen treatment, although it went through like some other writers later on too, but they wanted the look of the vampires that the artist had, you know, put in the book, and they kind of wanted that for the screen. So the whole story behind it, it's actually, like you said, it's a pretty fairly straightforward type of story. It's set in the small town Barrow, Alaska, and right at the beginning of the movie, it's like the last day of sunlight for like 30 days. So apparently some people that work up there, you know, they leave, you know, for this 30 days, and then they come back later on. So there's this one plane. It's like the last day. Everyone's trying to get on the plane to leave town and go back to wherever they're going. But some people do stay behind, like 100 something people stay behind. Now, something that happens at the very beginning, there's a guy in this, he's never given a name, he's just called in the credits, I think he's just called The Stranger, and he comes into town, he's kind of like the Harbinger, and he's sort of like the Renfield character, like he's not a vampire, but he's the guy that the vampires kind of like said, hey, go ahead and take out like all their communications and all this other kind of stuff in this town. So he goes to this town, he kills all the sled dogs. He steals everyone's phones and like burns them. And it's like, he does all this shit. So peeps, and he fucks up like the helicopters and stuff like that. So no one will be able to get out. And everyone that's left in this town will just be like walking snacks for this pack of vampires that come into the town.
Yeah.
And after that, it's pretty much like a siege type narrative where, you know, townspeople get picked, like a whole bunch of them get killed, like, initially, because no one knows what the fuck is going on, as you wouldn't. And so then, like, it just, as it goes on, it is set over 30 days, so everything kind of goes really kind of quickly. They do kind of every now and then, it'll say, like, day 7 or day 18 or whatever. So it's basically the dwindling townsfolk that are trying to, like, you know, save people or trying to kill the vampires, trying to get supplies and hide out, because they do eventually figure out that these are vampires and that they can't, they don't have like the manpower to fight them. And the cool thing too is that not only do you have like these vampires and there's a whole bunch of them and you can't fight them because they're way stronger than you and you can shoot them and it doesn't do anything, but then you also have the elements fucking you up because the vampires have cut off all the power, have cut off all communication. So it's like really, really cold. It's like, it's really hard to get to where the food is and all this other kind of shit. So you not only have, it's, you know, so it's like the thing in that way where, you know, you not only have like the elements working against you, but then you also have this essentially supernatural force that is kind of trying to fuck you over as well. So it's interesting that this is kind of like, in practice, it, yes, it's a vampire movie, but it is more like a zombie movie. It's, you know, it's a survival type movie. It's, you know, like I said, it's kind of like 28 Days Later, but set up in, you know, in Alaska and shit like that. When I was reading about this and I was watching some other reviews of this, I did not realize, and watching it, you will probably not realize either, that this was not filmed in Alaska, even though it looks like Barrow, Alaska. But I guess when they were filming it, this cost about $30 million to make. But they were like, well, we don't really want to shoot it in Alaska just because of, you know, the bad weather involved. And it was like, you know, too much trouble and it would be too expensive and everything. So they actually shot it in New Zealand. And I think they shot it in the spring or the summertime. So basically what they did was they built the entire town and then they covered it all like in white blankets. And then they covered it all in like, you know, sprayed it all with like fake snow. And then the rest of it, and I think they did this in The Thing as well. And then the rest of it, like outside of the town, like where the mountains and all that other shit was either done with CGI or done with like matte paintings and shit like that. And it looks incredible. I really would have had no idea had I not seen like some of the making of shots.
It looks good, but you know what? It doesn't look too cold to me. I mean, yeah. In The Thing, the John Carpenter's The Thing, you could tell it was cold.
Yeah.
Because the fucking breath.
Yeah.
Their breath, but you don't really see that in this.
You do, but it's digitally added.
Yeah, and it just doesn't look cold to me.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, it wasn't.
I know what it looks like. I know what cold looks like, and it just didn't quite look cold to me. But it's an enjoyable movie, though. It's a good movie.
It is, and there's like some really good gore in it as well. Yeah. Now, I think initially, when the movie was first submitted to the MPAA, because of the gore, I mean, you know, there's like a vampire gets cut in half by like some, what is that thing that
I don't know, it's like
vehicle.
It's a vehicle with a damn chainsaw.
It almost had like a gigantic chainsaw.
It's like something that you cut into the earth with to lay cables.
Okay, so that's what it was. I was like, I know it had to have some particular purpose, right. But I couldn't figure out what it was. So you get to see, like, a vampire gets cut in half by one of those. A little girl vampire gets beheaded.
Yeah.
A vampire gets thrown into one of those crusher machine things that, like, you know what I mean?
It'll crush any kind of metal or anything.
Yeah, so, like, it gets thrown into one of those. And one guy's, it has a name, but I can't remember what it is. And one guy, like, his arm gets torn off in it, and he gets fucking beheaded and all this other stuff. So this is a very, very gory movie. So when it first got submitted to the MPAA, so I've heard, they said, yeah, this shit's getting an NC-17 unless you cut out XYZ. And to their credit, the filmmakers were like, no, we're not cutting anything out of that. Right. Please give us an R rating. Right. And I guess they went back and forth with it, and they were just like, okay, fine, you can have an R, and you don't have to cut anything out, because they really, really didn't want to, and they didn't want to, like, you know, cut the balls out from under it. So the guy that directed it, who is actually the same guy that directed, this is actually the same director and writer that did Hard Candy, which I really recommend if you have not seen it. Totally different than this. It's more like a, Ellen Page was in it when she was much younger, and it's kind of like a reversal of like the, a pedophile type thing where she's kind of like fucking with a guy who's a pedophile. You know what I mean? So it's really, really good. So it's more like a psychological horror. Whereas this is pretty much a straight up monster movie, you know, where there's just a small group of people trapped in this fucking town and they can't get out, and they're just being like hunted down by fucking vampires who are trying to eat them.
Yeah.
Now, one thing you were talking about, and because in the graphic novel, the vampires do talk, and, you know, obviously they're speaking English because you wouldn't be able to read it otherwise, or English speaking people wouldn't be able to read it. But when they were making the movie, they were thinking, well, they're like, the vampires are like a pack, and so they have to be able to communicate with one another, but they didn't really want them to talk. But they're like, but they kind of have to talk a little bit. So the compromise that they made was that only the leader, who I think his name is Marlo, although I'm not sure if they ever mentioned that in the story, but they basically invented an entire language. Like, they got a fucking linguistic professor from like the University of Auckland in New Zealand to like help them. And they were kind of trying to model it after like some, you know, kind of like old, like African, like tribal languages where it was like, you know, click languages and stuff. So they were trying to try to model it after that, but not anything that anyone would recognize. And as far as I know, when we were just watching it before we recorded this, I think he's the only one that talks, right?
Now his girlfriend, Iris,
I think she talks too, maybe, but he's mainly the one that talks. The rest of them just kind of like scream and make these high-pitched sounds like they're calling one another, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I didn't agree with the direction that they went with all that. With
you the thought talk. They shouldn't have talked at all?
No, I think they should have talked. I think all of them should have talked. But when they did talk, they should have said something that was kind of... Here's the thing that... The way it is, it's... They don't say much, and it's only one guy who says something.
Yeah, he mostly talks.
And what he says is very vapid and superficial, all right? You would think that if they had been around for centuries, they would have a pretty complicated culture and language system. I think that would have made them a little more exciting or a little more interesting. And then you would think that they would kind of have individual personalities. But they don't really in the movie. They're animalistic.
Yeah, I just kind of saw them as like a pack of wolves.
Yeah, and the leader can speak, but...
He doesn't say that much.
Doesn't say that much, and it's nothing really important, you know what I mean? And it makes you wonder, well, how have they survived for this length of time being that simplistic? In order to survive against a technological society, you have to be sophisticated. You have to know about... Well, evidently they knew about electronic communications.
Yeah.
But you'd think they would also, like, have phones and be on the web, and you know what I mean? And
yeah.
pulling out information and stuff. But they don't, you know, because that's how you stay abreast of human progress, you know what I mean? And be able to compete against humans. You got to be able to play in that same game.
I wonder, though.
And they weren't really. They were animalistic, and one of them could speak, and they were kind of intelligent, but not really, you know, based on what they said, you know, just... So I know it's just a movie, and you know it's theater. But I was just thinking to myself, I was like, yeah, I don't think these guys would really be able to make it against a sophisticated society for long, because okay, they burned the town down. Well, eventually forensic guys are going to come in there and try to piece together what happened, and they would eventually figure out that there's a band of people that aren't human,
yeah,
running around. You know, they'd be getting blood samples and stuff, and hair and tissue samples. Because look at how many dead ones they left behind.
Yeah.
So I just don't think that, I don't think as it's shown, I don't think they would have been hunted down and killed eventually.
Now, see, I'm not sure how much of that they went to, because like I said, I believe the original comic book miniseries that the movie was based on, I think was 3 installments. And I think that Steve Niles went on to write like a whole bunch more where he like expanded the whole world and everything. And I believe that they made like a made for, I don't know if it was made for web or if it was made for TV or something like that. They made a prequel, which was called Blood Trails. And they also, there's also a sequel to this called 30 Days of Night, Dark Days. And I've heard it wasn't that great, but I haven't seen it. It was basically just made like to go straight to video or straight to VOD. So there is like a much larger lore around these vampires and around like how they operate and stuff like that. I just haven't read like all the supplementary material.
You see, vampires would have to have certain survival strategies. If they're few in number, then their survival strategy has to be like something you'd see out of an Anne Rice book, where they blend in and they spend most of the time hiding. You know, but they know each other.
Yeah.
But they don't ever really peek their heads up. Now, if there's a bunch of them, then they have to be something kind of like out of Blade, where they're their own civilization, a parallel civilization that has technology and knowledge, and they have money, and they have the ability to corrupt human politicians, and, you know what I mean, have pull with human governments and shit, you know what I mean? They'd have to be like that, one of the two. This is just kind of more like a zombie plague or a wolf pack.
And that's just kind of how I saw it, because I just saw it as more like a straight-up monster movie.
Which, like, that would work, but I just don't think that could survive for centuries, not in a modern world.
Well, like I said, unless they stayed in hiding, and I don't think they go into this in the movie, unless I missed it, and it might go into this in the graphic novel. Maybe they don't have to feed that often, maybe. So maybe they can like kind of hide, and then every now and then they come out and have this big like blood orgy feast.
Yeah, but that's not hiding, because then they jump out, have a blood orgy feast, and then all of a sudden they're on the radar. The way Lestat hid was seducing individual people and drinking them, and then the bodies are never found.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That happens a lot. Serial killer type stuff, you know? These guys are leaving whole wasted towns behind. Man, questions would be asked. They'd figure that out eventually.
Yeah. Well, like I said, maybe this is like a new... because he did say, like Marlo does say at the beginning, it's like, why didn't we do this a long time ago? So maybe they had been doing that, and maybe they weren't getting... Because I think, from what I've read about the comic book series, that this is like the last... You know, this is like all of them that are left.
Yeah, that's another thing about...
So maybe they had been like, had some other kind of way of doing shit, and it wasn't working out because they were all getting like...
That's another thing. Another problem I have with this movie is that I really couldn't get a good idea of how many vampires there were and how many townspeople there were. It was kind of vague.
Well, at the beginning, when everybody left the town that leaves for those 30 days, initially the little population thing said 500 and something. But then the sheriff deputy like goes out there and change the sign to like 142 or something like that. So most of the people leave. So there was like, but then in the first, like, you know, when the vampires first got there and nobody really knew what was going on, there was like kind of this big, they were picking off a few like around the edges. And then there was like a big melee and a whole bunch of them got killed because when they showed like over the top, you know, they did these drone shots.
Yeah, I guess so.
Like, over the town where there was just, like, blood everywhere and there was, like, body parts everywhere.
Yeah, I was having a hard time figuring out who was who. It was just, you know, people running around. It didn't really seem to be, like, 100 of them. It looked more like about 20.
Well, yeah, but that's because in the first part of the movie, like, a whole bunch of them were taken out. And you have to think, too, that they're compressing a whole month into, you know, like, a 2-hour movie.
That was another thing I wanted to mention, is that, they were... They talked about the time passing, you know what I mean? Like you said, you know, 15 days, 20, but you really didn't get an accurate sense that time had passed.
Yeah, you know what it I mean? Did. That was kind of one criticism that I could
like
let
nobody's
because I really
had grown.
Well, no, the deputies did. Yeah, when they found him, like his hair was long and
30
shit
days
like that.
Without power in a town like that, you know.
Well, some they had generators, and that big building where they were going at the end, where the thing that crunched up everything was, that had power still because I guess that was like on a different grid, or if it was outside of the town somewhat, and I guess the vampires didn't get to that, or their Renfield guide didn't get to that. So that looked like it still had power, or at least had generators, because when they went in there, like, all the lights were still on. And that's why they kept trying to get there, because that's still where the power was. But yeah, so that is one, you know, slight criticism that I could give toward, is that, yeah, you didn't get an idea that this was, because, you know, they're up in, they were holed up in an attic, you know, and then, like, you know, suddenly it's like 7 days later and they're still kind of up there.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can see why they did it. Yeah, like I said, it's three books worth of stuff that they're compressing into
one short.
If you
cut out the little scenes that came out and told you how many days were left, you'd cut all that out. And then I watched the movie and you told me, well, they were only there for 3 days. I just said, oh, yeah, yeah, about 3 days.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it's just, I didn't have the sense that time had passed, really.
Yeah,
other than just, they told me time had passed, but it didn't really look like it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
houses hadn't fallen over. Things hadn't been, you know, icicles weren't taking up the room. And you know what I mean? Because if a house freezes and sits there freezing in sub-zero temperature, a lot can go wrong if there's no power, you know, in 30 days.
Yeah.
And, you know, elements take over.
Yeah. And like I said, some people did have generators, and so they were kind of trying to move from place to place, like, you know, where the generators were still working, where the electricity was still working, and stuff like that. And then they, at some point, they had to go, like, during the blizzard, they had to go to the store and get food.
But here's another thing. There's the vampires were powerful. They were unstoppable. And they're moving to these places, and they got the power running. What, the vampires didn't know where they were? I didn't really buy that. They would know right where they were. You know what I mean? It'd be impossible to hide from them.
Yeah.
And the woman and the little girl were hiding underneath that damn car in the snow, and they didn't seem cold. Man,
they weren't there for very long.
Yeah, but I lay down in the snow in the army. It didn't take long. You know.
Yeah.
5 minutes later, you're especially with what they're wearing. You know what I mean? You can die quickly.
Well, that's why at the end, and if you haven't seen it, spoiler alert. But that's why at the end, that's why he decided that he had to inject himself with vampire blood and turn himself into a vampire to fight them, because she was going to die out there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's why he made that decision really quickly, to just go out there and fight them so they could get out. Because by that point, the vampires had started burning the town down.
Yeah.
And so he's like, well, she's going to either freeze to death or burn to death, so I have to fucking do something.
It's, even though I think it had problems, it was still a good movie.
It is. It's actually one of the better vampire movies.
Still a good movie. It's enjoyable. The tone of the movie is about right for a movie kind of like this. The tone, in some ways, is just a little bit more serious than maybe like Blade.
Yeah, I think Blade had more of a comedic type of tone.
Well, whereas, sometimes it did.
Yeah, whereas this one was, you know, like you said, a lot more serious. More like a serious monster movie. Kind of, you know.
Kind of like that. What's that one with the damn rage zombies?
28 Days Later.
Yeah, that was about like that.
That's what I was thinking. And it is kind of similar too, because in this one, I don't think you need to get bit by a vampire. You can just get some of their blood on you, or like in your mouth or something like that, like in your bloodstream. Bless you, Pookie.
Yeah. She's over there sneezing,
probably because it's dusty. And you'll turn, but they do have a thing where I think if you get bit, you turn like really quickly, but then if you just get blood in your mouth or something like that, like it takes a while, you know what I mean? And you'll still like kind of have some of your faculties, because that does happen a few times, like a few people that don't get bit, but it takes them a while to like turn into a vampire and all this other kind of stuff. And there's also the thing too, another thing that reminded me of The Thing was that they were concerned that if the whole town burned down and everyone in it died, then the vampires would just like move on to the next town or move on to another town and kill everybody there, and no one would know what was going on because there wouldn't be any survivors or anything. Similar to The Thing, where they were trying to stop the dog from going to the next camp, and you know,
yeah,
so the alien shit wouldn't spread.
I guess they were trying to burn the town down to hide the evidence that they were there.
Well, yeah, he said that.
But that never really works out in reality.
That's what he said. But like I said, this is like a tiny town in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Yeah.
So, and as I said, I think this is, I thought the implication was that these are the last of their kind. And so they're basically just kind of hanging on by a thread. They're just trying to survive. And maybe they've been doing other shit and it hasn't been working. One of them thought, hey, let's go to this little town where it's, you know, dark for 30 days and we can just run around and run amok and kill everybody. Because he was... Marlo, the leader, was like giving them instructions as though this was a new thing that they were doing. You know what I mean? So I don't think they've been doing this the whole time.
Right. Well, it was a mistake, if you ask me.
Yeah.
In reality, if you keep doing that, humans will catch up with you.
Well, yeah. And like I said, maybe there was some...
So I don't think these guys were that smart.
Maybe there was some implication. Well, yeah, I don't think they were.
Yeah.
They were pretty much just like animals. Kind of animals, like a wolf pack. And, you know, they could talk and they wore human clothes and stuff.
Or that one did.
Yeah, but the other ones just seemed like animals. They didn't talk. They just kind of screamed and like ran and like ate people.
Yeah.
So...
They were kind of more like werewolves in a certain way. They didn't have a bat. They weren't bat-like. They were more wolf-like.
Yeah, and they have I really, really like the, you know, they did like those black eyes, and then
they
did
twist their eyes up like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they did that with CG, even though a lot of the effects in this were actually practical effects that they just kind of enhanced with CG. But I really, really like the teeth that they did that kind of look like shark teeth, like they all look like fangs, and they had like these big gross
mouths
and everything.
They were all yellow and stuff.
Yeah, which they would be, because vampires wouldn't brush their teeth, I would imagine.
I guess. Lestat brushed his teeth. Night.
Yeah, but
he just was always,
how did you know?
He was just always perfect. That pretty motherfucker was always perfect. He didn't even go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Maybe, well, did she get into that in the book?
Yeah.
I thought she did.
Yeah, as soon as you got turned.
And, like your butthole closed up, right?
No, you vomited and shat out
that's
everything
right,
that was in you, and you never...
And you never had to do it again.
Never happened again.
Sounds pretty good, I think.
And because you weren't carrying on any kind of metabolism.
Yeah, that's what I thought she had gotten into. It's been a while since I've read the books, but
you're basically
sure
possessed by that damn poltergeist that was.
Yeah,
remember
that's
right. That
Lasher, right?
I think is what it was.
Yeah,
and you're possessed by that a part of that poltergeist energy was in you, and you just kind of it was fueled by, I guess the midichlorians, the midichlorians in your blood. There was something about blood where
vampire
it was
vampire magic.
Yeah.
Which, if you think about it, is less plausible than...
So, they didn't breathe, they didn't eat, or they didn't drink anything they were other than blood.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot all about that. Because that's the thing, it's, you know, you can say stuff about, particularly a movie that's about a creature that doesn't exist, and you can sit there and pick holes in it and stuff like that, but it's like, well, at the end of the day, the shit doesn't exist, and there's, like, only so much... You got to explain this somehow.
Anne Rice, I think, came up with a good idea of, you know, that basically it was an animated, it was like an animated preserved corpse, kind of like a statue moving around. And it was just kind of possessed by this.
And animated by a demon, kind of.
Yeah, it was animated by partially a poltergeist, a demonic poltergeist, and the person who had once inhibited. Inhabited that body or that mind,
which does seem to be
infused with both of them.
Yeah, it does seem to be one of the best ways to do that because you know, then you have the person as the person, it still looks like them, but you still have like a magical element that explains a lot of shit.
They didn't eat, they didn't go to the bathroom, they didn't breathe, they didn't sweat, they didn't have any kind of smell or odor. That way they could just lay in the tomb for centuries and get up and just like they were clean.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about? Their hair and everything, and if they cut their hair off when they woke up,
it would be back. I do remember that because that was even in the movie, like you know what I mean, where they cut off her hair and where she cut off her hair.
You had to make sure you had your hair cut right before you became a vampire because that's the one you were going to keep. You were going to keep that hair forever.
Yeah.
If you cut your hair every day, you know what I mean, to have a different style. You had to burn that hair.
Yeah, that's right.
Because it would end up piling up.
Yeah.
Because you'd grow it right back. So they burned you'd have to get a haircut every day.
Yeah.
When you woke up. But they were good enough to give themselves a haircut.
Yeah.
Because they had all that skill. And they could see somebody play a violin and instantly be able to just pick it up and play it like a master. Yeah. So.
See, some of the shit would be a pain in the ass, but I still think it would be kind of rad to at least to be that kind of vampire.
No real sense of passage of time, from my understanding, from what she said either. Just like every day was the same.
It's good that she kind of like got into it, because I think a lot of vampire stories don't really go into the whole like going to the bathroom issue and shit like that. Because I know a lot of zombie shit doesn't. Because zombies, they're dead and they're reanimated corpses, but they're walking around, they're eating people. So presumably, what is like it just sitting in their stomach? Or they got to
I guess it's sitting in their
They
got to
poop it out? Or
I don't
know. Do zombies poop?
I don't think they really digest, but maybe they do. Yeah, I guess
it's got to go somewhere. Otherwise, hungry. They would just explode after a while because it would all just like build up in there.
Yeah,
they'd all be walking around with like these big.
So I guess they do kind of digest a little bit.
So you'd think like on The Walking Dead, they'd be going around talking, you know, stepping in like piles of zombie poop all the time. Yeah.
But no,
you got to think about stuff.
I think Anne Rice's vampires would be something that would actually survive.
Yeah.
And exist and could explain what they did in the movies.
Yeah.
I think she had it figured out.
Yeah. She did like a really lot of
research. Right.
You know what I mean?
And how could something like that exist and what would it be like and why?
Yeah. Because you at least need something that's like believable. So people would be like, yeah, that sounds like
it. And they had vampire internet. It was like a spiritual radio, remember? They could hear they were getting texts.
Yeah, it was like the Force.
Basically. Like a text messages and
stuff.
Like
with Jedis and stuff.
Yeah, right.
So when you have something like that, I mean, that's essentially magic, but it helps you explain
it. It was psychic abilities.
Yeah, so people will be like, all right, you know, that's
part of them was quantum, I guess. Be a good way to explain it.
Yeah. So I'm not sure. Like I said, the vampires in this almost seem more like you said, almost more like werewolves or...
Yeah.
You know, but I like that, you know, because I as much as I like the romantic vampire, I like that he came out and did like went back to like the more Nosferatu, like the nasty looking, yucky, animalistic vampires, because it seemed like so many of them had gone off in the other direction. Like you had all that Twilight bullshit and that kind of stuff where they were just like a pretty.
Yeah.
Creep that
Twilight kind of fucked it up.
It really did, didn't it? It just kind of so ruined all that.
It'd have been so much better.
It ruined everything.
It would have been so much better had Queen of the Damned, that movie, not happened. Because I think that wrecked the Anne Rice.
It did, and that's a shame.
Universe.
Because that would have been, because Interview with the Vampire, the movie was good.
It was good, yeah.
And then it's like, I don't understand why they just made Queen of the Damned and then they smushed that together with Lestat when they could have made a trilogy.
Yeah.
I don't know why they don't, maybe they still will.
It was bang for the buck. They were trying to get everything into one movie, I guess. And then they were trying to get the goth crowd and they were trying to do too much shit at once.
Yeah.
In one movie. They should have slowed down. That was in a time when trilogies weren't a thing.
Yeah, that's it's not like, I mean, nowadays everything want to do everything like expanded universe.
What they should do is they ought to make a damn Netflix series with Anne Rice vampire.
They really should.
That
because
would
there's
change
so
the
many.
Game. Imagine if you did Interview with a Vampire the way it was in the book.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Get on it, Netflix.
Yeah, that would be really good.
Or Shudder.
And if you had like good actors doing that.
Yeah.
And they, you know, I thought Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise were really good in that movie.
They actually were. And I'm not a huge fan of Tom Cruise, as most people know.
Tom Cruise fucking did Lestat, man.
He was really good in that.
That was basically Lestat. He was a little older than Lestat was.
Yeah, Lestat was, what, 25?
No, I think he was supposed to be about 16, 17 when he turned 20.
See, I thought he was. I thought he was early 20s.
Maybe. I was thinking that they were late teens.
Yeah.
16, 17, 18, around that when they were turned.
So they were at maximum
maximum pretty. Because they were choosing each other. They were choosing each other who would become a vampire based on what they looked like.
There.
Yeah. They didn't want any little kids or fucked up people and no old people.
Well, yeah. How much would that suck getting turned into a vampire as like a crotchety?
Well, there was one of them named Magnus that turned himself into a vampire.
Yeah,
he was a sorcerer. No, he's an alchemist.
Yeah.
He dug up a vampire and drank the damn blood. He didn't have any teeth. He just had vampire teeth and gums.
Yeah.
He's the one that turned the stuff.
Because he's like, God damn it, I should have done this like 50 years ago.
He just kind of had to live as a damn wraith up in a tower. Remember that?
Because
he didn't have no charisma.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was back in the medieval period that he turned himself. So
everybody was gross back then.
They were all gross back then, right. He was an old school vampire. Like, basically what they described is basically they described Nosferatu.
Yeah.
Is kind of what he looked like.
Yeah. Which, you know, the movie version of Nosferatu, if you've never read the book Dracula, that's much closer.
Right.
Dracula in the book was an old man.
Yeah.
Like with a mustache and shit like that. No, they hardly ever give him a mustache in the movies.
Yeah, but like, and I believe his name was, Magnus, was his name. Even though in the movie Queen of the Damned, they show him as like a good-looking guy.
Of course.
And in the books, Magnus was dead. He killed himself right after he
made
Lestat.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was like right at the beginning, right?
Yeah,
when Lestat was telling about his
history. He told Lestat the rules and everything. He says, only make pretty vampires, only do this, do that, and then this is all you need to know. And then he killed himself.
Vampire rules right here.
Remember that? He gave him the rules. He says, you don't need to know it. This is all you need to know. And then he's jumped.
I'm out, bitches.
Now I'm out of here. And then jumped in the fire. Remember that? He jumped in that damn fire.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a long time since I've read them, but I do remember that. And I don't, you know what? I don't think I ever sat through Queen of the Damned in its entirety.
The movie?
I think I started, I've read all her books.
The best thing about that movie is it had an awesome soundtrack. It had a good soundtrack, but other than that, the movie was a miss.
Yeah, I think I remember like starting to watch it and being like, I don't think this is for me.
They tried to stuff all those books into one movie.
Those are very long books, those two books. Come on.
And you just can't capture the romance of those books.
And Vampire Lestat was like, that's probably my favorite of the original trilogy. And I can't believe that didn't get its own movie. That is so fucking lame.
It was good.
So Netflix needs to get on that, especially, you know, now that we're all stuck in and we need shit to watch. Right. So somebody make like all the Vampire Chronicles.
Then they're out there making the Vampire Chronicles and fucking biosuits.
Yeah, for real. All right. So anyway, thank you again, Rob, for sending us 30 Days of Night.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Very much appreciated. It's definitely one of the most decent, like, vampire as a monster type movies. Yeah. So, you know, and the vampires in it are actually, like, kind of scary. They're not, like, all, like...
It's not a perfect movie. I mean, you know, there are very few perfect movies in existence. You know what I mean? Some people say there are no perfect movies. It's bullshit. Fucking Back to the Future was a perfect movie.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Raiders of the Lost Ark is a perfect movie.
Also a perfect movie.
Yeah.
Jaws.
Yeah.
I mean, I could think of something.
Alien 1 and
2. That I wouldn't change anything.
Alien 1.
Yeah.
And Aliens.
Yeah.
Terminator 1. Damn near perfect for a low budget movie. There's Predator 1.
Yeah.
Is a perfect movie.
Yeah.
Some people go, well, no, I told you, shut the fuck up. That's a perfect damn movie. Some things, it's like anything else, it's art appreciation, you know what I mean? It's subjective, but from my point of view, those are perfect movies.
Yeah, and I don't...
And the top of the perfect movie shit pile is Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Beat for beat, that movie's perfect.
Yeah, like I said, in the sense that you wouldn't change anything about it.
You wouldn't change anything
about
that.
Most people would not change anything about it.
And I'd have to say part two is... Damn near perfect.
Too. And it's a movie you can watch over and over again, and it's still delightful.
And then part three is still damn good. A lot of people didn't like it. I didn't like it as much when I was younger. Now that I'm older, Back to the Future part three
like
makes
more
a
than
lot
I did
more
first.
Sense.
Because I'm not. It's very Western, and I'm not really into Westerns, but...
Well, I had to wrap up Doc Brown's story that he was a man and he needed a woman, too. That was the whole thing. It was about being an older guy.
Yeah, I appreciated it more.
Because Marty had been solved. So that trilogy right there is the best trilogy in film.
I think it might be, because it does seem like all three of the movies are good.
Yeah.
And you don't usually get that. It's like usually one or two of them are brilliant and then one's kind of blows.
And the fucking score to all of them, it's just right on. Every, you know, beat for beat, all through that entire trilogy, it's not marred by anything.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing in it that
throws you out of it. There's nothing in it.
That you're like, man, they should have done this.
Right. No. I can't imagine those movies done in any other way.
No, I can't.
And there's some kind of fucking weird rumor that they're going to remake Back to the Future. And my hair is standing up going, don't you dare fucking touch Back to the Future.
Well, I feel like they're going to get around to remaking
everything.
That's
a bad idea.
So the people that are talking about remaking Back to the Future, why don't you make The Vampire Chronicles instead?
It'd be much better,
because there you go. There's only the first movie was good. Then you made Queen of the Damned and you fucked it up. You didn't even make Vampire Lestat. Come on. Do that instead. Do that trilogy. Because we haven't really seen that trilogy.
You gotta have a master make that the vampire trilogy.
Well, yeah.
Including Interview with the Vampire King.
Like I said,
that.
do like some Haunting of Hill House shit. Yeah. Like Netflix needs to fund that shit.
Mike
Flanagan could direct it.
That's not something you give to Hollywood. That's something you give to Netflix nowadays.
That's what I'm saying. Get a really good horror director to get in there on that shit. I'd watch it. So, you know, vampires.
Yeah.
All right. So, again, thanks, Rob, for sending us the movie. And hope you guys enjoyed our take on 30 Days of Night.